It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, and we're going to enjoy the Lord's word today. And we're in the book of Genesis, chapter 28. We're going to begin reading with the 16th verse. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois. And our website, if you'd like to visit us there, is www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 28 and begin the reading of God's precious Word. Genesis chapter 28, beginning to read with the 16th verse. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." And he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil up on the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way, that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." Then Jacob went on his journey, and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, the well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks. And a great stone was upon the well's mouth, and thither were all the flocks gathered. And they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, "My brethren, whence be ye?" And they said, "Of Haran are we." And he said unto them, "Know ye Laban the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said unto them, "Is he well?" And they said, "He is well. And behold, Rachel his daughter cometh with the sheep." And he said, "Lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them." And they said, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep." And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and lifted up his voice, and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, "Surely thou art my bone and my flesh." And he abode with him the space of a month. Now we're going to end reading in the 14th verse there, and we're going to begin with prayer. It's a wonderful time we have in reading God's Word. Father, please, that you will guide and lead us and strengthen us today as we seek your will and way. Every day, we're just to look at today, Lord. We're not to be burdened about tomorrow. We're just to look to today. I thank and praise you today, Lord, for this time and this opportunity that you've given us here. please, Lord, that you will guide and lead us and send us in the way that you want us to go, as Jacob asked for a clear path. And we just ask the same for our lives. So please, Lord, that you will touch every heart. If the need be for salvation, that, Father, that you will meet that need. And, of course, we know, Lord, that the person has to invite you to come in. You will not force yourself on anyone. The opportunity is there if the conviction is there today. And I ask, Father, that is that one person or 10 people or 1,000 people, as they listen to this program, that they will recognize that you are calling them for salvation, that they'll recognize their sin, and they'll recognize you, Lord Jesus, to be their Savior, and that they will invite you into their heart. That's my prayer today, Lord, that would happen to many that are listening to the program. And I ask, Father, that then the growth begins, and we enjoy learning and growing and being more like the Lord Jesus. Please today, guide and lead us now as we have this wonderful study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have watched Jacob here as he continues to travel. And if you'll remember, and I hate to keep going back all the time and reminding us what has taken place, but remember the fuss between Jacob and Esau, and it was because of what Jacob and Rebekah had kind of connived here in their way of doing things to get the blessing, a blessing that was already promised unto Jacob. But we sometimes get ahead a little bit, don't we? We try to make things happen and make things work. And sometimes we just need to go each day trusting in the Lord. And so, but because of that, there was danger for Jacob's life. Esau had set out to kill him. And so Rebecca had sent her son, the one that she loved, away, and sent them back home, actually back to the Ur of Chaldees, or in that region, that area. And so she sent Jacob back there. And in his travel, again, it appears that he is completely alone. And he goes as far as he can go in a day, and then he lays down to rest. And I'm sure that he was weary and tired. Now, Esau, his brother, he's more into that climbing through the hills and hunting and all those things, but I don't think that Jacob was much into that kind of thing. And so we find that he got a pretty good distance here this first day, but he laid down and he didn't have much to rest his weary body upon. He just had the cold ground and the cold air to be his blanket, and then a rock for his pillow. That doesn't sound too inviting to me, I guess, depending on how tired you are. But that's what Jacob, that's what he had here. And he found himself asleep almost immediately, and then he had a wonderful dream. And in that wonderful dream, God has shown himself to Abraham and has given him a wonderful promise. And I'm going to read that promise as we see it here in verse 14. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land. Now, what a wonderful promise that God is giving unto Jacob. Jacob hears from his God, and as he wanted the promise, the blessing, he wanted the birthright, all these things Jacob worked so hard to get. But finally, and here, we find that he really meets his God. And it is wonderful. You know, sometimes we hold out for positions and things, but we really need to be in fellowship with God more than anything else. Jacob found that fellowship here in this dream. And then we find in the 16th verse, And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Did Jacob think in his fleeing and in him running away and leaving the land of his father and grandfather, Abraham and Isaac, that God was not any place but with them? And so we're not sure. We know that he was running for his life, and usually when you're running away, one of the last things you're probably thinking about is, what would God want me to do? Where would God have me to be? What should I be doing? Those kind of things don't seem to ever come to our minds when we're running, and especially in this case, it seems as though that he's almost as much running away from God possibly as he is from his brother Esau. But as we find this a couple statements here that we want to just take a few minutes with. Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. So whatever the reasoning behind that statement, he realized now he is there. And we need to recognize that if you come by faith to Jesus Christ and ask him to come into your heart and to save you, that he will, and never will you be alone. No matter where you are, no matter which direction you're going in, he is always with you, and you need to depend upon him and call upon him for wisdom and for strength, that each day would be a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And so a blessing unto him and a blessing unto us as well. Jacob didn't really have any kind of thought of blessing at all. He was running, and he was just going to go back to his father's house, which was back in Ur of Chaldees here. Is where he originally came from, but he was going to for that purpose and that place to get a bride, and that's what he was looking for and heading for. And so, as we see this take place now, it says that he knew it not to begin with, and then in verse 17 he was afraid and said, "How dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God." And this is a gate of heaven. Now, that's kind of a strange statement there in verse 17, isn't it? How dreadful is this place? How dreadful is this place? That's kind of a, one minute he says, surely the Lord is in this place. You would think that would bring a comfort to him and excitement to him, and he would be relieved that God is with him. And yet he makes such a statement in verse 17. He was afraid, and how dreadful is this place. Well, my friend, whenever we're studying God's Word, and whenever we come before the Lord, we realize how holy and how righteous that he is. And today I'm afraid that we have brought God down here to our level. We have made statues, we have made beautiful churches that we've built, and we for some reason have in our thought that when we come to church, that's where God is, and that's not so at all. Now, he has given us a special promise that when two or more are gathered, that he will give us a special blessing and a special visit, special wisdom, when we come together to worship and praise. And that's a wonderful promise. But that doesn't mean that he is any less with us each and every day. But to say here that how dreadful is this place, when we truly understand who God is, and again how holy he is, we realize how sinful we are. And there is no other word, any better word than this word. How dreadful is this place? I am a sinner, and he is a holy God. Now you think about that combination. What hope does a sinner have before a holy God? Well, we do have hope, and that's hope. That hope is through Jesus Christ. If we come by faith to him, trust in him, then we find that dreadfulness and that fear will leave. But it is, I think, very important that we look very carefully and very closely at our lives and realize who we really are, how ugly and how wicked that we really are. And then maybe we'll begin to recognize how great our God is, how holy He is, how righteous He is, and how much He loves us when He sent His Son, Jesus, down here upon this earth to give us life, to give us hope. And that hope and life can come only if you come by faith to Him. Not just to know about Him. Please, don't just know about Him. You need to know Him. You need to trust in Him. And you need to invite Him into your heart. And when you do that, He is faithful to come in, to live in your heart, to save you, and to keep you. And what a wonderful promise we have in God's holy word. But I think we need to look at that. And again, I'm going to read 16 and 17, and then we'll move on. But I want you to see what Jacob, when he really, for the first time in his life, saw God. Oh, did he stand before Him? No. But he witnessed His holiness, when He spoke, the voice from heaven. And as he saw that, and maybe you've kind of forgotten, but as he dreamed, behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the God, the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. What a wonderful message and what a wonderful promise that Jacob is receiving here. And then for him to respond in such a way. And I think if he would have responded in any other way, he would not have realized who God was. So I believe that if you have never really experienced the holiness of God and recognized how wicked and sinful that you are, I'm not sure you're saved. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you what, before that last breath that you take, that last step that you take before you slip off into eternity, you better be sure and you better know. And so I hope that you take care of that today. I don't know a better day to do it than to come by faith to Jesus Christ, to ask Him to come into your heart and to save you and begin a walk. Jacob was about to begin such a walk. And what a wonderful place. And when he saw this, he was afraid. And how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. You see, there's an important, the day I met Jesus Christ, the place was halfway between the house and the Pharaoh's house, and I've never forgot that place. Is there any special, is that hallow ground there? Is there anything special about that ground? No. But there's something special about that place and that time when I met Jesus Christ. And I hope that you meet Him too, and meet Him soon. I hope that you come. This is how it affected Jacob. Again, this must have been none other but the house of God. That's where he met him. But this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning. And he took the stone that he had put for his pillow. And he set it up for a pillar. And he poured oil upon the top of it. Again, you're not to go to that a special place where this is the only place God is. But as memory of what a wonderful time that Jacob has had, what a wonderful blessing that Jacob has received, and to hear those words of the promise of the earth, thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Jacob has no children. Jacob isn't saved. And yet that promise was given to Abraham and to Isaac and now to Jacob. And as he hears this and he recognizes who he is, how dreadful is this place, that shows us. He recognizes exactly what he feels and who he is. And now he builds this little place, little memorial, so that when he passes by, that he can see that little pillar sitting there, and it'll remind him of that wonderful day. You know, we have the Lord's Supper, and here we have it once a month. You could, however often you have it is just fine, but we have it once a month. And each time that purpose is to remind us of what Jesus Christ has done, how that he died upon Calvary, how that he shed his blood, and how that he went into that grave, and what the awful cost of sin, the wages of sin is death. And that's what it cost. That was the cost. And Jesus Christ paid that cost, that price for you and for me. And so when we come and have the Lord's Supper, it is a special time to remember what has happened and what he has done for me as an individual, as a person. He has died for me, and what a wonderful work that he has done for me. And I believe that when Jacob passed by this place, and the place of Bethel, as we have talked last week there a little bit, it stayed to be the house of God for many years. But then after a while, it kind of became just a place of worship, but it was not the worship of the true God. And I'm afraid that that's happened in many of our churches today, that yes, they come and they worship, but because they do not preach the truth, they do not preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that it is no other than just a place, an idol almost, that you come and you think by you showing up into the church door, why, there's going to be some special blessing there, a special protection for you, that, oh, for sure you're going to go to heaven because I go to church. Well, there's many people that attended into Bethel where they built the golden calf, and they built one up at Dan too. This is a northern kingdom in Israel. And they continue to attend there and continue to go there. But they had forsaken God. And we need to understand that just because you go to a place that's called the house of God, God may not be there. Because it depends upon you to whether you are calling upon the true God or you're worshiping something less than that. And Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Now you can look at that in a couple different ways, that Jacob is making a bargain with God, saying, okay, God, if you'll protect me, then I'll serve you. It's not really saying that at all. This is giving Jacob growing faith. I remember in my own life many years ago that I had a terrible temper, and I had asked the Lord to take that temper away. He had shown me how wicked and evil that temper was. I didn't even notice it before I was saved, but when I'd gotten saved, he showed me that it wasn't good. And I mean, I used his name in vain and would just throw a terrible fit and tantrum. And he showed me that that needed to go. And I called upon him right after I was saved. And I says, if you're true, if you're real, take this away. And he did. I have never, if anybody that knows me today has no idea I ever in my life had a temper. But I had a wicked temper. And God has removed that. He has taken it away from me. Now, is that, saying that, God, I will serve you? No. God showed me his presence by doing that for me. He showed me his strength. He showed me his power. And probably the one single thing that has happened in my life that has brought me to the place of preaching his word was probably that event, because I knew he was real. And I knew that I needed to tell everyone that I can tell about Jesus Christ, an opportunity to be saved. Well, Jacob, in leaving this place here, why, he just asked for God's protection. I am on a trip. It seems like that he has kind of stopped running in fear, and he has begun to be in service to the Lord. God, I am heading home now. And when I say home, we think of Canaan being home, because that's where Abraham was, that's where Isaac and Rebecca, that's where everybody is at. But it was necessary that Jacob go back to where Abraham was born to get his bride. It was necessary to do that. And I believe that probably for the first time, maybe Jacob recognizes that he is stepping one step at a time through this life in service to God. And God, I want you to lead me. That should be our prayer and our request always. God, lead me. God, please lead me. And that way we'll recognize and know that every step that we take is a step that is of blessing to us and of praise and honor to God. And so I believe that Jacob here is beginning to take those steps, and he is asking the Lord's protection to show him his way and supply him his needs. Now, there's nothing wrong with you and I asking for the same, that he will supply our daily needs. He will meet everything today that we need, he will meet. Oh, isn't that wonderful to know that we have a God that hears us and that listens to us and that answers us. And once again, so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. Not that he again was making a deal. God, if you don't bring me back safe and sound, I'll never serve you. But it was proof. And I can see the same thing when I asked the Lord. I wanted to know. And if you want to know today that Jesus Christ is real, you call upon him. And I don't know how. I don't know what way. I'm sure it won't be the same way he did it for me. I'm sure it probably won't be the same way he did it for Jacob. But he will show you in your life, in your heart, that he is true and he is real. You look to him. You trust in him and you walk after him. And he will show you. It's just a wonderful walk that you can have. And I hope that you begin that walk today. We have, once again in verse 21, "And so that I come again to my Father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give a tenth unto thee." You know, we go all the way back to Abraham when he came back to Melchizedek. And after he had went up after Lot and won the victory and brought everything back, and we have the king of Sodom or Gomorrah, I can't remember off the top of my head which one it was, wanted to give him the spoils, and he says no. He said, "I will not. God will give me what riches I need." And then also in that same action, that same time, why, he come before Melchizedek, the king of Salem, and he gave him a tenth of all. And now, as we look here, "I will surely give the tenth unto thee," for his work, for his support, for the poor, for who, we're not sure. We don't know. There is no, you know, today, why you would bring your tithes and offerings into the Lord's house. Where does Jacob bring it to? Well, there's much to be done. There's altars to be built. There's animals to be sacrificed. And there is praise and honor to be given to the Lord. And Jacob said, "I'll give a tenth of everything I have to you." And what a wonderful promise. And I think that's something that we should decide to do. Now, many people will tell you that, you know, we're no longer under the law, the Ten Commandments. We're not to tithe. Well, we have two times here with Abraham and now with Jacob that specifically lists a 10%, a tithe. So I think that is a guideline for us. And so please be in support of God's work. See that you're in a place where the gospel is preached, where you can come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope today that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, because I want you to know my God. And the only way you can do that is to come by faith to Jesus Christ. So please today, trust in Him. And my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?